الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. المقام أيها الإخوة الفضلاء، درسنا في هذه الليلة في شرح كتاب الأصول الستة للإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وأسكنه فسيح جناته. هذا الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب بن سليمان بن علي رحمه الله، المولود في عام 1119، حفظ القرآن قبل العاشرة وطلب العلم على يد والده وجده وغيرهم من أهل العلم في زمانه، ورحل في طلب العلم إلى مكة وللمدينة والعراق والأحساء، وقام بالدعوة إلى الله، بالدعوة إلى توحيد الله ونبذ الشرك، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، وأزره الإمام محمد بن سعود رحمه الله، وقال الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب: أبشر بالنصرة وأبشر بالأمن وأبشر بالمساعدة. فقال له الشيخ: أنت أبشر بالنصر والتمكين والعاقبة الحميدة، هذا دين الله، من نصره نصره الله ومن أيده أيده الله. واستمر بالدعوة، فألف المؤلفات في توحيد الله جل وعلا، كتاب التوحيد وأدلة التوحيد والأصول الثلاثة وقواعد الأربع والأصول الستة، ورد على الشبهات في كشف الشبهات، وقعد قواعد القواعد الأربع، وأصل أصولا مهمة كالأصول الثلاثة والأصول الستة، وألف في السيرة، اختصر السيرة النبوية، وألف في العبادات آداب المشي إلى الصلاة، وهكذا كتب نافعة رحمه الله جعل الله له القبول، وانتشرت به دعوة التوحيد في الجزيرة العربية، فتجاوزتها إلى غيرها من بلاد العالم رحمه الله. هذه الأصول التي ألفها الإمام المجدد رحمه الله، الأصول الستة، أصول مهمة عامة تؤصل للعبد أصولا يحتاج إليها في حياته. فبدأ بأهم الأصول وهو التوحيد، وهو الأصل الأول، إخلاص الدين لله جل وعلا، ثم عقب بعد ذلك بأهمية الاجتماع وترك التفرق والاختلاف، ثم أتبع ذلك بحقوق ولاة الأمر وطاعتهم لغير معصية الله، ثم أتبع ذلك بحق العلماء، سنة العلماء وأهمية العلم، ثم أتبع ذلك بالبيان الفرق بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان، ثم بين بعد ذلك مسألة الاجتهاد ومن هو المجتهد، وأن الكتاب والسنة ميسرا فهمه لمن بذل السبب في ذلك. هذا كلام مجمل عن هذه الأصول، وسوف بإذن الله تعالى نأخذ كل أصل منها بشيء من التفصيل. قال الإمام رحمه الله، الذي هو شيخ الإسلام: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ابتدأ المؤلف رحمه الله هذا الكتاب بالبسملة. لماذا؟ اقتداء بكتاب الله جل وعلا، فإنه مبدوء بالبسملة في السور ما عدا سورة براءة التوبة، لأنه على قول بعض أهل العلم أنها تتبع لسورة الأمثال فهي سورة واحدة، وقيل لأن الكلام فيها عن المنافقين ولذلك سميت بالفاضحة وسميت بالمقشقشة والمدمدمة وغير ذلك. وكذلك البسملة جزء من آية من كتاب الله عز وجل في سورة النمل، كما قال الله عز وجل وإنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كذلك ابتدأت البسملة اقتداء بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، فإنه كان يبدأ كتبه ورسائله للملوك بالبسملة، وكذلك لتحصيل البركة، حيث جاء في الحديث الذي روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال كل أمر ذي بال لا يبدأ فيه بسم الله فهو أقطع، في رواية أجزم ناقص البركة. والحديث ضعفه بعض أهل العلم منهم الإمام الألباني رحمه الله وحسنه بعضه. قوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الجار والمجرور متعلق بمحذوف، تقديره أستعين ببسم الله أو أبتدئ ببسم الله. بسم الله الاسم من السمو أي العلو، بسم الله، والله اسم لا يدل إلا على الله جل وعلا، ما أحد سمى نفسه بالله، الله تعالى ما أحد تجرأ أن يسمي نفسه بهذا الاسم، حتى فرعون الجبار ما قال أنا الله بل قال أنا ربكم الأعلى. بسم الله الرحمن، الرحمن اسم من أسماء الله المختصة به لا يطلق على غيره، والرحيم اسم يطلق على الله وعلى غيره. والفرق بين الرحمن والرحيم أن الرحمن خاص من حيث اللفظ، فما أحد يسمي نفسه بالرحمن، لا أحد يسمي نفسه بالرحمن، فهو خاص بالله تعالى من حيث اللفظ، عام من حيث المعنى. فالرحمن الرحمة العامة التي يرحم الله تعالى بها جميع الناس، جميع البشر رحمهم بالرحمة العامة، حتى الحيوانات والبهائم. والرحيم خاص من حيث المعنى، فالله تعالى رحيم الرحمة الخاصة بالمؤمنين، كما قال الله تعالى وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما، وكما قال عز وجل إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين. والرحيم عام من حيث اللفظ، فيصح أن تقول فلان من الناس رحيم، كما قال تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فالرحيم عام من حيث اللفظ، يصح أن تقول فلان الرحيم، لكن لا يجوز أن تقول فلان الرحمن. قوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، بسم الله الخطاب موجه إلى كل قارئ أو سامع يسمع له. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ثم ابتدأ رحمه الله البيان لهذه الأصول، حيث قال الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله: من أعجب العجاب وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة أصول بينها الله تعالى بيانا واضحا للعوام فوق ما يظنه الظانون ثم بعد هذا غلق فيها أبتلاء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل قليل. قوله رحمه الله: من أعجب العجاب وأكثر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة أصول، ستة أصول. أراد رحمه الله أن يبين أن هذه الأصول مهمة ينبغي فهمها لطلاب العلم، وهي ست أصول مستنبطة من الكتاب والسنة لتدل على كمال حكمة الله وقدرته عز وجل وكمال تشريعه. وهذه الأصول الستة استنبطها الشيخ رحمه الله من كتاب السنة، وقد بينها بيانا واضحا غاية الوضوح. قال: ستة أصول. ما معنى الأصول؟ الأصول جمع أصل، وهو في اللغة ما ينبني عليه غيره، ما ينبني عليه غيره، ومنه أساس البناء وأساس الجذع وأصل الشجرة. قال الله عز وجل: ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. فهذه الأصول أصول عظيمة، وضحها الإمام رحمه الله وبينها الكتاب والسنة وبينها علماء الإسلام، ثم بعد ذلك غلق فيها أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. نسأل الله تعالى العفو والعافية. مع وضوحها ومع بيانها ومع دلالة النصوص عليها الكثيرة غلق فيها أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. وهذا قول الله جل وعلا: وإن تطع أكثر من في الأرض يضلوك عن سبيل الله. ومصداق قول الله تعالى: وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. ومصداقا لقول الله تعالى: وما أكثر الناس ولو أحرصت بمؤمنين. فالكثرة ليست عبرة، ولهذا قال بعض السلف: لا تغتر بكثرة الهالكين. وقد قال الله تعالى عن إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. فهذا الباب باب عظيم، وهو التوحيد ومعرفة هذه الأصول المهمة التي بينها شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب، وغلط فيها كثير من أذكياء العالم، لكن ما نفعهم ذكاؤهم لأنهم لم يستنيروا بنور الوحي، فأظلمت عليهم، نسأل الله العفو والعافية، ونعوذ بالله من اتباع الهوى، فإن اتباع الهوى يضل عن سبيل الله. ولهذا يقول تعالى: يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله. كذلك من الأسباب التي صرفتهم عن الحق مع ذكائهم المشيخة، مشيخة أهل الضلال وأهل البدع. فعندما يتلمذ الذكي على أهل الضلال وأهل البدع والانحراف، فإن تلك المشيخة لها دور في انحراف هذا الطالب عن الحق. لذلك تجد الآن من يكون مع أهل البدع أذكياء، فهم يركزون على الأذكياء ويحرصون عليهم غاية الحرص، فقد تجد عندهم أذكياء يدافعون عن منهجهم وعقيدتهم وفكرهم. ما نفعهم ذكاؤهم، لأنهم ما أخذوا العلم عن أهل العلم، بل أخذوه عن أهل الضلال فأثروا عليهم. حتى أن بعض السلف يقول: كنت خارجيا فأنقذني الله بسفيان، أي بسفيان الثوري. كذلك من أسباب الضلال والانحراف القراءة في كتب أهل الضلال، فالحذر من قراءة كتب أهل الضلال، فإنها تصرف الطالب عن العقيدة الصحيحة، ككتب السحر والكتب التي تدعو إلى الشرك وتزين الشرك. كذلك الكتب التي فيها تكفير لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ككتب سيد قطب، فإنه قد صرح في بعض كتبه أن البشرية قد ارتدت عن لا إله إلا الله، وإن ظل بعضهم يرددها على المآذن ما سلم من تكفيره حتى المؤذن. بل قال في بعض كتبه: ليس على وجه الأرض دولة مسلمة ولا مجتمع مسلم. بل قال عن مساجد المسلمين: إنها معابد جاهلية. فالحذر من هذه الكتب التي تؤثر على عقيدة الإنسان، الحذر من كتب أهل البدع التي تزين البدع ويدافع أصحابها عن بدعهم. فطالب العلم يختار كتب السنة الصحيحة الصافية النقية حتى تسلم عقيدته، وليحذر من كتب أهل البدع التي تؤثر عليه وعلى عقيدته، وليحرص على مجالسة أهل السنة والجماعة ويستمع لدروسهم وفتاواهم، وليحذر من الاستماع لأهل البدع وأهل الضلال، لأنه قد تقع في قلبه شبهة فتؤثر على عقيدته، أو تبقى في قلبه لا تخرج من قلبه. نسأل الله تعالى العفو والعافية. هذه مقدمة ذكرها الإمام رحمه الله ليبين أهمية هذه الأصول الستة، وأنها مع وضوحها وبيانها في الكتاب والسنة غلط فيها أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. فالموفق من وفقه الله، فليكثر العبد من سؤال الله عز وجل الثبات: يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك، يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلبي على طاعتك. ويدعو بقول الله جل وعلا: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ويسأل الله تعالى بقوله: اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر والعزيمة على الرشد، ولا يغتر بذكائه، ولا يأمن من مكر الله، ولا ييأس من رحمة الله. فإبراهيم الخليل كان يدعو الله ويقول: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام، مع أنه كسر الأصنام بيده يخاف من الشرك. كما قال الإمام المجدد: باب الخوف من الشرك كان في كتاب التوحيد. بل علمنا صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ندعو الله تعالى ونقول: اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم فإنك تعلم ما لا أعلم. فالحرص على تعلم العلم وسؤال الله تعالى الثبات على طاعته وأخذ العلم من أفواه العلماء. نسأل الله تعالى للجميع التوفيق والتسديد، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بارك الله فيك فضيلة الشيخ، نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلها في ميزان حسناتك، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجزيك عن الإسلام والمسلمين كل خير.
جزاكم الله خير.
بارك الله فيك فضيلة الشيخ.
بارك الله
إياكم. بارك الله فيك، آمين يا رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله، السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته فضيلة.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. The Sheikh Hafidhullah, our Sheikh Abdul Najmi, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah, the Lord of the universe, and sending the peace and salutations upon the best of Allah's creation, Muhammad, and upon his companions, upon his family and companions, and his followers, and those who follow them in goodness. And he said to proceed, O noble brothers, our lesson tonight is an explanation of the six foundations by the Imam, the Reviver, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. May Allah have mercy on him. This Imam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, or his name is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman ibn Ali, and he was born in the year 1112 Hijri, and he memorized the Quran before reaching the age of 10. He memorized the Quran before the age of 10. And he sought knowledge at the hands of his father and his grandfather and other than them. And he traveled. He traveled to seek knowledge to places such as Mecca and Medina and Iraq and also Al-Ihsa. And he established, or he started calling to the way of Allah. Calling to the way of Allah and calling to Tawheed. And he fought in the way of Allah for the sake of Allah. And he was supported and aided by the Imam Muhammad bin Saud. May Allah have mercy on him. And Imam Muhammad bin Saud, he said to Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he said to him, have glad tidings of victory. Yani, we will give you victory and we will support you and we will aid you. And also security. Have glad tidings of victory and security. So Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab replied to him and he said to him, and you have glad tidings of being established in the land, and being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you the rulership and the leadership in the land. And this is the religion of Allah. This is the religion of Allah. Whoever establishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable him and give him the leadership in the land. So he continued upon his da'wah. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he continued upon his da'wah, and he authored books, and he has written books such as Kitab al-Tawheed, Rasul al-Thalatha, Kashf al-Shubahat, the four fundamental principles, the Qawaid al-Arba, and he had laid down some principles in the religion and some foundations. And he also authored in a seerah, in the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had summarized the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the field of ibadat, the field of types of worship and acts of worship, he had written Adab al-Mashi ila salah, the etiquettes of walking to the prayer, and many other beneficial books. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put acceptance in the hearts of the people for his da'wah and for his call and for his books. And his da'wah, or his call to the way of Allah and to the book of sunnah, and the book of sunnah had surpassed the Arabian Peninsula and reached other lands other than the Arabian Peninsula. These six foundations, these usul sitta, the Sheikh said, they are very important. They are very important foundations, or they are very important general foundations, which lay out a foundation for the slave, or principles for the slave which he needs in his life. So the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he began this book by mentioning Tawheed first. He mentioned Tawheed, and it is to be sincere to Allah and the religion and worship in Him alone. Then he followed it with the importance of unity. He followed the matter of Tawheed with the importance of unity. If I'm going too fast, just remind me, brothers. Yeah, barakallahu feekum. So he started with the importance of Tawheed, which is the sincerity in the religion of Allah, and then he followed it with, he followed it by the unity or the importance of unity and the abandonment of split and differing. Then he followed that with the obligation of showing obedience to the people in authority, the obligation of being obedient to the people of in authority. And after that, he mentioned the right of the scholars, the right of the scholars, and he mentioned also about the knowledge. The scholars, he mentioned something about the scholars and the knowledge. And after that, he clarified the awliya of Ar-Rahman and awliya of Shaytan, yani the companions of Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent, and the companions of the Shaytan. So he clarified after that the awliya of Ar-Rahman and awliya of the Shaytan, the companions or the friends of the Ar-Rahman and the friends of the Shaytan. Then he mentioned lastly the issue of ijtihad. So in this book, which is the Six Foundations, يعني we go back a bit. The Sheikh mentioned, Sheikh Abdullah Najmi Hafidhahullah, he says that these six foundations are general foundations which lay out a firm ground or a foundation for the slave which he needs in all of the affairs of his life. Yes? So the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he began by mentioning Tawheed or clarifying Tawheed in the beginning of the book. And it is to be sincere to Allah in the religion, to have sincerity in to Allah in the religion. Then he followed the issue of Tawheed or the affair of Tawheed with the importance of unity. The importance of unity and the abandonment of different and split. Then he followed that with the obligation of showing obedience to the people in authority. He followed that with the importance of showing obedience to the people in authority. After that, he mentioned the right of the scholars and the knowledge. The rights of the scholars and the knowledge. After that, he clarifies who are the awliya of Ar-Rahman and who are the awliya of Shaitan, who are the friends of Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent, and who are the awliya or the friends of the Shaitan. And lastly, he mentions the matter of ijtihad, the matter of striving, ijtihad to find rulings. Yes? And who is the mujtahid? Who is the person who is fit and qualified to perform this ijtihad? To perform this type of ijtihad, which is to derive rulings from the Quran and the Sunnah. And he mentions in the last one that the Quran and the Sunnah are made easy. The Quran and the Sunnah are made easy and they can be understood by people. Yes, they can be understood by people. So the Sheikh said, this is a general overview of what the book contains, and we shall, inshallah, take each one of them in some detail. So the author, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He began his book by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Yes, the Sheikh said, why did the author start with the Basmala? Why did the author start with the statement of Basmala, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? The reason for this is to take example in the book of Allah. Take example in the book of Allah, in the Suwar, in the Suwar in the books of Allah. Because all of the Suwar in the book of Allah start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, except for Surah At-Tawbah. Yes, all of the books or all of the surahs in the book of Allah start with Basmala, except Surah At-Tawbah. And the reason for this is according to some opinion, or according to one opinion, that it follows the surah which is before it, Surah Al-Anfal. Surah At-Tawbah is considered one surah, with the surah which is before it, Surah Al-Anfal. Thus, there is no need for Basmala. And another opinion, the Sheikh said, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Yes, and for that reason, some of the, يعني, it has been named, يعني, الفاضحة, which is to the exposer of one which exposes people, سورة التوبة. Exposes the munafiqeen. That's why, يعني, according to one opinion, that the basmala is not mentioned in that one. And also, because the basmala, or the statement of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is a verse from the book of Allah. In Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And it is verily from Sulaiman, and it is بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And likewise, the Shaykh said that the Shaykh began by mentioning the Basmala, which is بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, to take example by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to begin his writings and his messages and his letters to the kings of the land by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and also to acquire the blessing. You start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to acquire or to achieve the blessing. Yes, as mentioned in the hadith, the Shaykh mentioned that كل أمر لا يذكر فيه اسم الله أجدم. يعني every affair or every matter which Allah's name is not mentioned in it, then it is أجدم, which is يعني deficient in blessing. It is deficient in blessing. And the Shaykh said this hadith has been declared by some of the people of knowledge as being weak, like Imam Al-Albani, and also it has been declared sound by others. It has been declared a sound hadith by others. So the Shaykh said, Bismillah. Bismillah here is jar majroor. يعني in Arabic language, or in terms of, in relation to the Arabic grammar, for those who know it, he said the Shaykh, Bismillah is jar and majroor, referring to the words Bismillah. And it is in regards to something which is يعني if jar majroor here, something is been left out. Something which متعلق بمحذوف, يعني something has been left out or something has been erased. يعني part of the statement has been erased or has been deleted. And the missing part here, the Shaykh said, is بسم الله أستعين أو بسم الله أبتدئ. Yes, يعني the meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu, or the meaning of بسم الله here, and in the part which is missing, is in the name of Allah I seek assistance, or in the name of Allah I begin. So the power says, I seek assistance or I begin, it has been erased or has been deleted, has been removed. Yes? So in Arabic language, the part would be Bismillah Asta'een. Asta'een has been left out. Or Bismillah Abda, in the name of Allah, I begin. Also, this part has been left out. So the word ism, the Shaykh said the word ism, or when you say the bism, يعني the word ism, is from sumu, from the highness. From the sumu and from ulu. It is from the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his superiority. And Allah, the name Allah only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This name only points to Allah azza wa jal alone, or indicates to Allah azza wa jal alone. No one else called himself Allah. No one else called himself Allah, and no one even dared to call himself Allah. Even Pharaoh, he never claimed, or he never said, I am Allah. Rather, he said, أنا ربكم الأعلى. I am your mighty Lord. So he never claimed to be Allah. He never named himself as Allah. Then he mentioned the word Ar-Rahman, or the name Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. The Shaykh said, this is from the names of Allah which are only for him. This is from the names of Allah which are only specifically for him, special for to him. And no, none should be called Ar-Rahman except him. None other than Allah should be named Ar-Rahman except he. And Ar-Rahim, the name Ar-Rahim can be you can describe Allah with it, or you can name Allah with it, and other than Allah as well. The word or the name Ar-Rahim can be used for Allah and for other than Allah. And the difference between the two is that Ar-Rahman is khas min haythu al-lafz, in terms of the word itself, it is specific. In terms of the word itself, it's specific, and it is not permissible. It is not permissible. This is, we talk about Ar-Rahman, yes? So the difference between them, the Shaykh said, is that Ar-Rahman, the word Ar-Rahman, is specific from the angle of the word, from the perspective of the word itself. And no one or it's not permissible for anyone to call himself Ar-Rahman. It is not permissible for anyone to call himself Ar-Rahman. And also, on the other hand, it is general from the perspective of the meaning. Yes, so it is from another angle, the word is general from the perspective or from the angle of the meaning of the word. And the meaning of it is Ar-Rahmah. Ar-Rahmah al-Ammah, which is the general mercy of Allah. The general mercy of Allah. And Allah, this general mercy covers everyone and is upon everyone, all of the people, yes, and all of the mankind, even the animals and the cattle. And the word or the name Ar-Rahim, the Sheikh said, is specific from the perspective of the meaning of the word. Ar-Rahim is specific from the perspective of the meaning of the word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim. He's merciful. He's all merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful to the believers, as he said, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful towards the believers, as he said, and he is towards the believers all merciful. And he is towards the believers all merciful. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close to the good doers, or is near to the good doers. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close or near to the good doers. And so we go over it again. So the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Okay, the Sheikh mentions first that Ar-Rahman is from the names of Allah, which are only specific to Him and special for Him, and none should be called Ar-Rahman except He. And Ar-Rahim can be used for Allah and other than Allah. And the difference between them is that Ar-Rahman is specific from the perspective of the word itself, from the يعني, the actual word. The actual word is specific, يعني, from the angle of the word itself. No one, يعني, the name Ar-Rahman is specific from the word. يعني, the actual word is specific to Allah alone. خاص بالله, special to Allah. The name, يعني, the actual word, yes? And from the perspective of the meaning of the word, yes, this means the general mercy. The general mercy of Allah, which is upon all of the creation, all of the mankind, even the animals. And the name Ar-Rahim is specific. In the meaning. The word Ar-Rahim is specific min haythul ma'na, in regards to the meaning. Yes, it's specific because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And towards the believers, He was all merciful. Towards the believers, who is all merciful. So, Ar-Rahim is specific. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close or near the good doers. And Ar-Rahim is general from the perspective of the word itself. The word Ar-Rahim is general as well. يعني, it's the opposite of Ar-Rahman. So, the Sheikh said, it is correct that you say, so-and-so is Rahim. So-and-so is Rahim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so the Sheikh said, it is correct to call someone or so-and-so, he's Rahim, he's merciful. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, they come to you a messenger from amongst you. It grieves him that you should find difficulty. Yes? And he's anxious towards the believers. He's anxious and he's towards the believers. He's Ra'uf Rahim. Kind and merciful. Kind and merciful. So the Sheikh said it is correct to describe someone and describe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also as Rahim. Say so and so is Rahim. There's no problem in that. However, Ar-Rahman, the word Ar-Rahman or the name Ar-Rahman is not permissible to use it for anyone other than Allah. So the Sheikh began, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab began by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So he began his book by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this addressing here, the Sheikh said, is directed to every person who reads this and every person who hears it. The Sheikh is addressing every person who reads it or who reads this book or anyone who hears it. And then he began by clarifying the six foundations, and he began by the first one, and he said, may Allah have mercy on him. He said, من أعجب العجاب وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة أصول بينها الله تعالى بيانا واضحا للعوام فوق ما يظن الظانون، ثم بعد ذلك غلط فيه كثير من أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا قل القليل. So he said from the most amazing of affairs. Shaykh Muhammad Abu Wahab, he began by saying, he said from the most amazing of affairs and the greatest signs which indicate the ability of the king and the overcomer, al-Malik al-Ghallab, six foundations which Allah clarified clearly to the common folk or to the general people. Beyond that, what the suspicious ones may think. And after that, or yet, a lot of people from the intelligent people in the world and from the wise people of the offspring of Adam made a mistake in it, except يعني few of them, except few of them. So he said, from the most amazing of affairs, from the most amazing of affairs, and the greatest, and from the greatest signs which indicate the ability of the Al-Malik Al-Ghallab, the king and the overcomer or the victor, six foundations which Allah clarified clearly to the common folk. Beyond that, what the suspicious ones may think. Yet, a lot of people from the intelligent people of the world and the wise ones of the offspring of Adam made a mistake in it, except a few of them. So the Sheikh said that, Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, he comments on this and he says that the Sheikh, rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Wahhab, he wanted to clarify these six important foundations and how they are, يعني, it is a must that the person understands them, and those six foundations are derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes? And they act as proof for the complete and the absolute wisdom of Allah and His ability, and also the completion or the complete or the completion of His legislation and the perfect legislation of His. And these foundations have been derived from the book and the Sunnah, and it has been clarified clearly. It has been clarified clearly in them. So the Sheikh said the meaning of the usul. What is the meaning of the word usul here? The word usul, which is foundations, is the plural, يعني, word for asl, foundation, singular. And from the linguistically or from the language perspective, it is something which another thing is built upon it. Something, foundation is something which another thing is built upon it. And يعني, for example, when you say the foundation of the house, asasul bina, the foundation of the building, and the foundation of the tree, al jidh is like the body of the tree, the foundation of it, and also asl al-shajara, the roots or the foundation of the shajara. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the Quran, he says, Allah had given an example, example of a good word, like a good tree. A good word, like a good tree, its roots or its foundation is firmly established in the ground, and its branches are high up in the sky. And he said that these foundations are from the great foundations. Yes, are very great foundations. And the Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he clarified them, and he clarified the Quran and the Sunnah. They have been clarified in the Quran and the Sunnah, and they have been clarified by the scholars of Islam. Yet, after that, still some people fell into mistake from the most intelligent people in the world, and also from from the wise ones of the offspring of Adam, alayhi salam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, safety and security from that. So the Sheikh said, although they are very clear, upon their clarity, yet still people, the fact that they are very clear, yes, and how the nusus, the text from the Quran and Sunnah, all of them serve as proof for those foundations, still people, many of them, or the majority of them, fell into mistake regarding them, except a few, and this is in agreement, this attests to the truthfulness of the statement of Allah, when tuta' akthar min fil ardi yudilluka an sabilillah, and if you obey the majority of those who are upon the land, they would misguide you from the path of Allah. They misguide you from the path of Allah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And the majority of them, or the vast majority of them, do not believe in Allah except while they fall into shirk, or except with falling into shirk. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرِصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the majority of the people, even if you try your hardest, are not believers. The majority of the people are not believers, even if you strive your hardest. So the Sheikh said, the number or the large numbers is not يعني that which should, the person should pay attention to. The large number of the people and the majority and who's يعني more, this should not be paid attention to. Not the only thing that should not be paid attention to. And some of the Salaf, some of the pious predecessors used to say that do not be fooled by the numbers of those who have been destroyed. Do not be fooled by the number of those who have been destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding Ibrahim, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً. Indeed, Ibrahim was an example and he was alone. Ibrahim alayhi salam was alone. And he said about him that he was an example. Example to the people. So the Shaykh said this chapter is very great. This chapter is very great. And the Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, he clarified it. And however, many people, or yet many people from the intelligent ones, from the world, fell into it. And it did, the intelligence did not benefit them. The intelligence of those people who were intelligent did not benefit them, yet they still, يعني, because of their intelligence, or despite their intelligence, they still fell into mistake. Yes? And this is because they had, يعني, they did not take يعني, heed, or they did not take the light of Islam, or the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, as a guide. The reason for this is because those intelligent people, they did not take the light of Islam, or the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, as a guiding light, or as a guiding lamp. And they had followed their desires. They had followed their desires. That's why they were misguided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding, or he says in the Quran regarding his prophet Dawood, in a translation of the meaning, he said, O Dawood, we have made you a khalifa, a successor in the land. O Dawood, we have made you a successor in the land. So judge with the truth. Judge with the truth and do not follow the desire. And do not follow the desire. And also, يعني from the things which turn them away from the truth is al-mashyikh, yeah, which is يعني that they take scholars or they study under people who are misguided, yes, and they seek knowledge from the people of innovation and people of desire, and this has a role in misleading the student, taking the people of innovation, the people of desire, and the misguided people as teachers. This has a role in making or leading the student astray. And يعني for this reason, we find many of the people of innovation, they have some intelligent students. We find many of the people of innovation, they have some very intelligent students. And those people of innovation, they pay يعني, attention and they pay يعني, great care to those intelligent ones, to those intelligent students, so that يعني, inevitably they will start defending their falsehood and their misguidance and start يعني, act as a shield for them and defend them. And however, those intelligent people and those intelligent students did not, يعني, their intelligence did not benefit them. And some of the Salaf, some of the pious predecessors, the Sheikh said, some of the Salaf mentioned that I used to be a Khariji, a person from the Khawarij, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me or salvaged me with Sufyan. Sufyan al-Thawri, meaning Sufyan al-Thawri. I was a person from the Khawarij, and Allah had saved me with or through Sufyan, Sufyan al-Thawri. And likewise, from the things which lead the people astray is reading the books of the people of misguidance. Reading the books of the people of misguidance, because this would turn the person away from the correct aqidah. Reading the books of the people of misguidance, this would turn the people away from the correct aqidah. Like the books of magic, for example, and the books of shirk, and also the books of takfir, declaring all the people to be disbelievers. The people of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like the books of Sayyid Qutb. Like the books of Sayyid Qutb, and he mentioned in some of his books that the whole of humanity apostated from Islam. The whole of humanity apostated from Islam. And he apostated from the statement of La ilaha illallah. Like the day before Islam came. He said the whole of humanity apostated from Islam. And apostated from the word La ilaha illallah, like the day before Islam. And he also said in another place, he said, there is not upon the land or upon the face of the land a Muslim country. There isn't upon the face of the land a Muslim country nor a Muslim society in the face of the land. And he also mentioned, he said regarding the masajid, the mosques of Allah, he said that they are like ma'abid jahiliyyah, like a places of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, are places to worship, like the ones in the days of ignorance. Yes, temples or something like that, temples of ignorance, something like that. So the Sheikh said, be aware of the people of innovation, and be aware of the books of the people of innovation. So the student of knowledge should choose the books of Sunnah, the pure books of Sunnah. So his aqidah is free and his aqidah is pure. And let him be aware of the the books of people of innovation, and let him strive into sitting with the people of Sunnah and listening to their lessons and listening to their fatawa, their verdicts, and let him be aware of listening to the people of innovation. For the person may listen to the people of innovation, and they would throw, or he would hear, a misconception or a doubt which would remain in his heart, So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us safety and to free us from that. So the Sheikh said, this is an introduction to the six foundations. This is an introduction to the book, which is the six foundation of Surah Sitta, and how they are very clear, and also the clarification, and how they have been clarified, and they are very clear. They are made very clear. But yet the people, from the most intelligent of people in the world, and those who are wise from the offspring of Adam, fell into it, despite being very clear and straightforward. So that let the slave increase from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicating to him, like for example the Sheikh mentioned the supplication, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub thabbit qulubana ala deenik, or the turn of the hearts, make firm our hearts upon your religion. And also Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, O Allah, do not deviate our hearts after you have guided us. And also Allahumma nas'aluka thabata fil amri wal azimata fil rushd, O Allah, I ask you the firmness in the affair, and also the firmness the firmness in maturity as well, in maturity. And also Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used to supplicate to Allah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, wajnubni wa baniya an na'budu al-aslam. Ibrahim, he supplicated to Allah and he said, and prevent me and my offspring from worshipping the idols. And this is despite the fact that he is the one who destroyed the idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is the one who destroyed the idols, yet he still asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, prevent me and my offspring from worshipping the idols. And Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, he mentions in Kitab al-Tawheed, he mentions a chapter which is Bab al-Khawf min al-Shirk, the chapter of fearing shirk for oneself. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam, وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِمَّا لَا أَعْلَمْ. Yes, the translation of the meaning, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, in that I associate with you while knowing, and I seek forgiveness from you in that which I do not know. So Shaykh said, الحرص, which is to strive your hardest to seek the knowledge from the mouths of the scholars and to be aware of the people of innovation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us and for you success. وَصَلَى اللَّهُمْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرَكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.